This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and Dennis is off. He's enjoying some well-deserved time off, PTO as it were. So I'll be holding down the fort today, solo, so go easy on me. And I'll do my best to help you out with the computer comments, questions, and concerns. We do have already four lines all jammed up, but we do appreciate that. And just a couple of quick things for you guys. We're starting our 30th year offering this public service of Tab Computer Systems on WTIC News Talk 1080. This is the 30th year. We officially were a show January 8th, 1997, if you can believe that. And we've been doing it for 30 years, and it's been my pleasure to do what we can for you guys out there, and we appreciate your support over the 30 years, listening to the program and contributing and asking questions and just being part of the show. So we appreciate that very much. Obviously, without you guys, we had nothing to do. And so we're happy to be here and happy to be doing it for our 30th year beginning now. And hopefully, God willing, it'll be another 30. Who knows? I'll be like, oh, can you reboot your computer, please? Who knows what I'll sound like in 30 years? But it'll be a fun journey as long as they'll have us. So we do appreciate that from the folks here at WTIC. I had a couple weeks off of hanging out in the free state of Florida, as it were, and nice and sweaty hot down there. It's a little cold now. I'm glad I left. But nice and warm down there, and we enjoyed some time off. But I have a technology story, only reason I'm bringing this up. So just so you guys know, I hate technology as much as you guys do. I love it and hate it. Of course, it's a love-hate relationship. And so it's the Saturday night before we're getting to get on a plane in the morning, Sunday morning. And my wife and I come back from a walk, and it's about 8:30 at night. And we walk into our little place, and the phone says, oh, the lock wants to do an update, and guess what? It's happening now. This is a smart lock, quote-unquote. Smart lock's been working for years, no problemos. And it just decides at 8:30 at night, all day we've been there, didn't care to update, but now it decides it wants to update. And of course, it won't do it unless you have a phone in proximity to the lock. So I'm standing there letting the smart lock update, and it goes through its thing, and then it says it's got to calibrate. All right, we all got to get a little calibration going, so I'll let it calibrate. I do the process of calibration, and it says it fails. So I try it again, of course, and I try it again, and it fails. So now my lock is lobotomized, useless. Nothing like a smart lock that's lobotomized. And I say to myself, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to get on a plane tomorrow, and I can't really lock my... I have to use a key? Come on. Can't really lock my place up. And I got on support, and believe it or not, I had to factory default the lock, re-download the update I didn't even ask for. Of course, they said my lock would have failed eventually because I didn't have the update. Well, I know that's a lie. The update did work, but I had to literally blow all the configurations out of that lock, all the users out of that lock. Thankfully, I had them written down. And my point of the story is the more technological we get, the more chance we're going to have of these types of things occurring. And we had the story about the airplane, right, where it was dropping like 20,000 feet randomly because of a solar flare. And then JetBlue had to cancel 6,000 flights to update the airplane, right? They actually had to roll that firmware back to the version that doesn't get impacted by solar flares. We have stories about smart refrigerators. You know, everything's quote unquote getting smarter until it's not, until it's lobotomized. So I don't know. It'd be nice if you could actually choose to update, but of course we wouldn't. And that's another issue, right? If you don't apply your service packs, you don't apply your updates, you're not going to have the latest and greatest security. So it's a catch-22 when it comes to technology. And just make sure you've got a backup. Make sure you're able to recover. I was lucky. I was really cranky that Saturday evening as I'm reconfiguring a lock that was working perfectly before we went for our walk. That's what's happening these days when it comes to technology. And of course, they were very supportive. They at least were there when they answered the phone when I called. They walked me through the scenario, which was the worst case scenario. I had to actually default the whole thing, and it was a pain. I'm holding a little paperclip in a little hole. I'm on my hands and knees and holding a little paperclip inside a hole, pulling out the battery, counting to five, holding the paperclip for 15 seconds, not less than 15 seconds, Eric. It has to be 15 seconds. Putting the battery back in, hoping it wakes up, then applying the firmware, hoping it doesn't fail. Then I had to reconfigure it for all the users. That was my Saturday night before we packed up to leave back for lovely Connecticut. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way. That's the world we're living in. Also, at 10 o'clock, I've got a guest coming on, Kennedy Smith. She's from the Institute of Self-Reliance, which is a thing. And basically, they did a story. We talked about it a month ago now. It was a December story that came out about how Amazon is kind of, I want to say, ripping off or price gouging school systems, because purchasers of school systems are not paying attention to the pricing that Amazon is showing you. You ever been on a website where you're like, hey, I'm going to go get an airfare, and the airfare is $200. You walk away and check a different day and come back, it's $220. Or even within the same session you could be on, it's like, wait a minute, that thing was just $200. Now it's $220. These systems are smart enough to kind of squeeze out as much revenue from you as they can. And in the case of the story that we'll talk about at 10 o'clock, they found that, I want to say it was in Oregon, that the school systems there could have spent $500,000 less on office supplies if they had not bought them from Amazon, or at least paid attention to what Amazon was doing to the pricing of these office supplies. So we'll have Kennedy on at 10:05, and I'm very curious to see more about how the study worked and what is going on with these companies and how we have to be a little more, pay more attention to what's going on, especially if you're in purchasing. If you're in purchasing for a school system, pay attention to how much those pens and papers and erasers cost. You're getting burned, as it were. You guys jammed up my calls, the lines this morning. So I guess what we'll do, Carolyn, is you want to take a quick break and then I'll start taking these calls. You guys are all up early this morning. We'll take a quick break and we'll get to Stefan, John, Richard, and Jesse, actually from Ohio. So our first Ohio call. But we'll take a quick break and get back to those calls right after this. It is Computer Talk. It's our 30th year we're starting here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Carolyn's along with us, one of the 80 bazillionth producers we've had over the 30 years. She's stuck with us for a few years here though, and we appreciate that, and she's spinning the tunes for us. But let 4 years you've been with us. Nice. That's awesome. That's a run if you can stand us for 4 years. Let's go to your calls though. We're gonna thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning, a snowy Saturday morning. Go to Stefan in New Britain first. What's going on, Stefan?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Just to recap, so you had to reboot the lock?
I had to reinstall the whole firmware, not just reboot it. I had to factory default it. Oh, yeah, right. I had no desire to do that.
I'm just wondering, because I asked you guys about that Zadig thing.
Yeah.
I was reading online because I had to do the firmware install.
Yep.
That Zadig thing I have to remove from my laptop now because it can prevent it from communicating with my recording software.
Oh, geez. Now with the new updated version of the software, it's caused more trouble for you?
Well, no, it's the Zadig. So you can do the file transfer. But anyway.
Yeah.
Technology I view is beneficial and detrimental at the same time, beneficial to my lifestyle, detrimental to my patients.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, you know how you guys have that once a year we're going to take all your old computers and stuff and,
yeah,
you know.
We're going to do it twice a year now. Properly. Yep.
This particular laptop did not make that. It is a Dell Latitude E6410 with an Intel Core i5 V12 and Windows 7. And the battery is completely dead.
Yeah, pretty old.
I was wondering, is there a cost-effective way to get a charger?
Well, if the battery's dead, you first have to see if you can replace the battery to get a current battery in there, because it may not necessarily be the charger. It could be the battery having the issue. Is it replaceable?
I don't have a charger. I don't even have a charger. So I can't even see if the battery is good or bad. I was just the charger cable with the whatever, you know, transformer it comes with. I was just wondering if there was a cost effective website that you know of, or should I call Dell, or should I go on the Dell site?
Well, you got eBay sites. You've got the Dell. There's a Dell laptop charger factory. It's got them for $26. I've never used them before. We try to stay away in our business from the older type of equipment. They usually are more trouble than they're worth. But there's this
reason I want it.
We'll say it again.
Because there's a reason that I want to use this computer with the Windows 7 as old as it is. I'm not using it for modernity. I'm using it more for antiquity far as technology is, because I want to run some old music software that I have.
Yep.
That I can no longer run. Well, I can't run it on Windows 11.
Yep. No, you can't.
Yeah, so I'm being a retro grouch.
All right.
And just, you know, I wanted to see if I could load the software onto this thing and run it with my old system.
It does seem like you can get one, Stefan. I mean, I'm on Amazon right now, and it looks like you can get a Dell Latitude 6410 laptop AC adapter charger, 90 watts, $23.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, okay, 90 watts.
That's what it says it is. I would have to look up to confirm it, but they actually reference that actual model as a charger that's available.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Amazon and Oregon, you said?
Yeah.
Well, see, the people in the school system in Oregon, they get taxpayer funded. So they don't care what they pay.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, right? Taking care of taxpayer dollars, you would like to think that they're going to take care of taxpayer dollars, but they're not, clearly. In this case, $500,000 was spent more than they should have, and that's probably everywhere in every state.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And I think the American people need to tell the government, hey, you need to be innovative. You need to do more with less.
Yeah, they always seem to need a 6, 7, 8, 10, 12% increase. I agree with you, Stefan. I'm a libertarian, small government kind of guy, and that would be my approach as well, but not in this state.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, so it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's under Dell Latitude.
Yes. Put that model in.
Great. Thank you ever so much.
You're welcome, Stefan.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Just one last thing. Okay, my Windows 10 computer, Dennis responded to what was on Facebook.
Yeah.
So just go with their continuing policy thing?
Yeah, you can go with that continuing policy as an option. That's just the ESU. I think it's, $30? It's something less for consumers than it is for business. And that'll give you the updates, and it'll keep it valid.
And can I still buy Windows Office at Best Buy for like $200?
You should be able to get the Office Suite. I think it's Office 2024 now that's available that you can just buy once and pay for it. Yep. It still exists.
Yeah, because it keeps going up. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much.
You guys are fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to John in Farmington. What's going on, John?
Good morning. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, sir.
I haven't talked to you and Dennis a couple of years now, I think it is.
All right.
But I've got a funny situation. I've got a probably 4 years old laptops, Windows 11 fully updated to version 25H2.
Nice.
And a brand new one, which has much more capacity. These are the only two computers I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the new one a few months ago, just so that if the old one runs into trouble, I can maintain continuity. Okay, I've got OpenDNS on the older laptop. I tried to put it on the newer laptop, and I couldn't get it to work. I went to confirm
right.
that it was on the newer laptop, and I went to Microsoft Copilot, who's given me a lot of good answers on a number of things.
Yeah.
But on this thing, it just, you know, they said, well, you got to go into the PowerShell, do this, that, and so forth.
Yeah.
I did, and some things got screwed up. It took me a while to get it unscrewed up. And so I'd have enough of that, and I thought I would just give you guys a call and see
sure.
if you had any ideas.
Most likely, you have an IPv6 configuration that's leaking. Because did you configure IPv6 with the OpenDNS IPs or just the IPv4?
I tried to get the IPv4, and it wouldn't let me do it.
It wouldn't let you do IPv4? Only IPv6?
Right. Right. It wouldn't give me that option when I went to do it.
Okay. Are you familiar at all with your router?
Not terribly. It's an Infinity. It's an Infinity router, and everything seems to work okay. But I really want to configure it if I can through the individual devices, because, you know, I don't use them. I use them in different places at different times. They're both laptops.
Fair enough. Right. So you could take your security with you.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, typically, I think Windows 11 does have the IPv4 running. So you got to configure the IPv4 IPs with the DNS settings. I can't imagine. It's not just IPv6 that's running on your laptop. You have to do both. And that's why you're getting the failure, because IPv4 is going. Because if you do any kind of IP config on your system, like if you go to the DOS prompt and you type in IP config, most likely you're going to be an IPv4 configuration. And that's
okay.
what needs to be set up. So what you should probably do is do some quick searches on how to configure IPv4 DNS settings. And if you have to ask Copilot, you can. And that should be right there where you would put the 208.67.222.222 and the 208.67.220.220 IP addresses.
Yep. Okay. Exactly.
That's where you. That's probably why you're failing, is because of that reason. And I like your idea of taking your security with you. That does make sense. However, if you have anybody else coming into your home, if you could configure the DNS settings for both IPv6 and IPv4 on your firewall, as far as when it hands out the IP addresses, anybody coming in your home will be more secure as well.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense. Yep.
But it's got to be that. You're just leaking, John. I'm trying to think if the internet bad guys gives you any more advice as to whether it's IPv6 or IPv4. I think it does. You'd have to do a little. I haven't configured that, or I haven't had the error lately to see what would come back as to tell whether or not it's IPv4 or IPv6 giving you this issue. But yeah, I would make sure you configure both, and I know that Windows 11 runs on both.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Fine. That makes sense to me.
All right, sir.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Best of everything to you.
Thank you, John, and good luck. And let us know if you have any trouble.
Okay. Thanks. Yep. Bye.
Right, bye. Bye. So we're going to be here starting our 30th year till 11 o'clock. Coming up at 10:05, I do expect Kennedy Smith to join us, the Institute for Self-Reliance. And basically, that's a group of folks who are talking about how small businesses really just gets hammered by these big box stores. Tab has been in business since 1983. And as a small business supporting small businesses, we kind of agree with the Institute for Self-Reliance on that. And of course, you want to shop small, right? Shop small business on Saturdays. So it's all kind of connects together, right? It's like I planned this in some way, but I didn't. And she'll be on the line to chat about how Amazon is kind of, I guess, ripping off school systems if you don't pay attention to when you're buying your office supplies. We'll be right back. your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Dennis is off having a well-deserved PTO day and undisclosed location. So let's go to your calls, and we're going to go to Richard in Newington. What's going on, Richard?
Well, I'm on speaker. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking.
All right. My question is there a way, excuse me, to unlock my emails without going through the carrier?
Unlock your emails without going through the carrier. So you're saying you're locked out of your mailboxes?
Yeah, what happened was, I'll give you a quick scenario here. I went in my emails, and I noticed a couple were missing. And I said, what's this? So, and then I scrolled down a little bit, and I had a big chunk of 2 or 3 months that were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't much in there, you know, because I don't put a lot on there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 2 or 3 emails in each month, you know?
Yep.
So anyway, so I says, well, you know, it's maybe a glitch or something.
Mm.
So then I said, well, I got out of there. I went back in a couple hours later, and they say to me, we don't recognize you. No, what did they say? They say something's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
They don't recognize my ID or my password.
Uh-oh.
So I said, okay, let me see if I can get the password. So I got out of it, and I went back in.
Yeah.
I made sure everything was correct. I got the same message. I can't change the password. I'm locked out.
Right.
So I called AT&T. I got AT&T.
Yeah.
And they tell me, well, there's nothing we could do. You got to fill out this form.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, okay. So we fill out the form.
Yeah.
And on the form it says an alternate email.
Right. A recovery email address.
I don't have an alternate email.
I know.
Well, we got to use the other email. So I'm trying to explain to the representative that how can you send me an email when I can't open it up? How am I supposed to read it?
Yeah.
So anyway, I went on Gmail.
Yep.
I got a new email, and I put it in the form.
Right.
So then they tell me, okay, the form is good now.
Mm-hmm.
Got to wait 72 hours to get a thing on back from AT&T saying, well, we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it might take 5 to 7 days.
Yep.
So I'm saying to myself, well, let me call Eric. Maybe he can help me. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous.
It is. So this is the thing. Go ahead, yes. Richard. Oh, I was going to say, this is the thing about free email systems, right? Both of these emails that you're using are free, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So do you think they care that much about your email working?
No. That's why I got to wait 7 days to get it fixed, maybe.
Maybe.
Don't ask me.
Right. So you're at, what is your email at? It's at AT&T? Is it, what is the at?
It's at AT&T.net.
Okay. So you may want to consider a paid mail service going forward, only because it's more secure and they might care more about you, Richard, because any of these free mail systems, they're not really interested in you. You're the commodity, really.
I understand. You know, I went on my computer and I was looking up those paid ones.
Mm.
And they got this Pronto or somebody. But they're in Switzerland or somewhere. I guess that doesn't matter today. But
right, Proton.
What would you recommend for a paid?
I would recommend the Swiss company.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, here's the reason, Richard. Here's the reason.
Yes.
Switzerland is neutral.
Yeah, right. That's true.
All right.
Even during the Second World War, they were neutral.
Yeah. So that's number one. Not that you're doing anything wrong. Number two, your email is fully encrypted, and they have no way to decrypt it. So whatever email you're sending and receiving is private. As we should expect as Americans, the default setting should be privacy, right?
Yep.
The government can make a request of AT&T, Google, all these free mailboxes and say, hey, Richard, I think Richard is doing something bad.
Right.
I want to see his emails. And they'll get it. And they won't even tell you they're even doing it. Not that you're doing anything wrong, Richard. But the point is, it's none of their business. Right. It's privacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
So Proton will give you the ability to have a fully encrypted point-to-point connection from a company who's located in Switzerland, which is a neutral company, which means even the federal government, even anybody you name out there, is not going to be able to have any kind of change occur because the keys are not in their hands. So if you want a purely private email system, that's the one we recommend until we don't. Until there's something that tells us that whatever they said they were doing isn't what they're doing. But for now, we know that that's the case, and that would be the email system I'd recommend. Now you've got Google, you had a Gmail account. I agree, having a Gmail account for like just junk email addresses, anything you want to use that you don't care about, put the Gmail account in there.
Right.
But the Proton one is going to be more of a formal professional email. Now you should also be concerned with why your email address, and I'm sorry, your email box password changed. What was your password on the old one?
I don't know if it changed. I just...
You locked yourself out.
Yeah, I can't put it in. So okay. I don't know if it's the IP address.
No, a lot of time it's...
password.
Yeah, a lot of time it's the you have a caps lock on or something wrong. Write down your username and password somewhere.
I checked all that.
All right. I believe you. Write down your username and password on an index card and make sure you can read it. And basically, that would be the approach I would take, is to consider Proton as a more formal way to get a more real email box. And you want to deal with these companies who really don't care about you.
All right. I looked quickly on a computer about Proton.
Yeah.
They have no phone number, nothing. They got to do everything online.
So that's not unusual, Richard, unfortunately. A lot of it's online. You have to talk to anybody. It really isn't that complicated. I think they do have a chat support if you really have an issue, but it's just in setting up an email box. So it is very much self-sufficient. It really shouldn't require a whole lot of interaction with anybody.
Okay. Sky can read English pretty good, so I'm sure I can follow the prompts.
I think you can. And they do, believe it or not, have a free mail service. However, I'd recommend you actually pay for it, so you actually get maybe the VPN and other technologies that they offer as part of that package, so you can even further secure your system when you're online.
So getting back to AT&T, I'm stuck.
You're stuck dealing with them. There's no magic I can give you. It's their post office. It's their mail system that you're dealing with. I have no power over it. I'd be just as much a victim of it as you would be.
That's too bad.
Hey, I told you my lock story. I'm just as much a victim of technology as anybody else.
Yeah, as a point of interest, I listen to you guys every Saturday.
Awesome.
And I would say 80% of the time, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. You know, you tell these guys on the computer, do this, do that.
Mm.
I'm not, you know, I'm elderly, so I didn't grow up with this stuff.
Well, believe it or not, you did.
I did?
Yeah. It hasn't been a thing until like, you know, early 90s, right? Before that. So you've been around since 95, I suspect, Richard.
I've been around much longer than that.
So you did grow up with it, but I hear you. And we appreciate you listening.
Yes. Okay. So that's what I'll do. I'm stuck with AT&T and I'll look into Proton.
Look into it.
Well, thank you very much. And you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And we don't get anything for the recommendation, nor do we want anything. Consider also with Proton, if you've got kids or grandkids or what have you, if you buy an account, the right type of account, you can offer mailboxes to your family, right? So you could be let's say Richard's last name is Smith. I have no idea. But you could be at the Richard at the Smiths. .com, right? You'd have to register your domain name, the Smiths. Obviously, that's probably taken. But you know what I'm saying. Instead of being at AT&T and advertising for those folks, you'd be you, right? When I'm at my address at home, I'm at my address. I'm not advertising for AT&T, Google, or any of these people. And the same thing with Proton. So they'll allow you to go ahead and configure your own domain name, right? And then you'll be able to be Richard at whatever. And you get multiple, in some of the accounts, you can get multiple boxes so that you can actually offer mailboxes to your family. And they'll have a secure way to communicate rather than having to be victims of these free mail systems. And these days, you want your email to be as secure as it possibly can be. Make sure you turn on two-factor authentication no matter what mail system you're using. Lots of hackers out there are tricking lots of people. It's crazy. If you find yourself putting cash into a box and shipping it to somebody because you got a, they said you got more money in your bank account for a refund, you're being ripped off. And this is happening way too often. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. Lou in Simsbury, Jesse in Ohio. Hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. I keep saying we, but it's me. Dennis is on vacation. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and I'll be talking to Kim Smith of the Institute for Self-Reliance, who tries to talk about how small business and community businesses really need to have some level of protections against these huge big box stores, to whatever degree they try to encourage self-reliance rather than dealing with this monster big box stores out there that are crushing all our small businesses. And we have a story we talked about last month or so, about how if you're a purchasing agent for a school and you're buying your office supplies through Amazon, you're probably paying too much. In the old days, I know Carolyn doesn't remember this, but we used things called catalogs, and they had paper and they had numbers, and you would go find out your box of pens cost $8. And guess what? They always cost $8. So when the purchaser was buying a box of pens, they knew it was $8. You go on Amazon, it's $8 today, it's $18 tomorrow. That shouldn't be a thing. It can't be a thing, especially with taxpayer money. So we'll be talking to Kim Smith and see what she has to say. She's a researcher for the Institute for Self-Reliance. But let's go to Ohio next and see what Jesse's got cooking. Hello, Jesse.
How's it going? Good morning.
Good, sir. How are you out there in Ohio?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
So I'm attempting to change my computer over to Windows 11. It is a B650 Asus motherboard. And upon switching it over to GPT, essentially I got a black screen. I can't get the PC to post, like, at all.
So it's a black screen on the boot. So something's wrong with your BIOS, whatever you did there. Did you screw up where it was booting from? Did you lose the boot object?
Well, I can tell you, I went to the BIOS and I switched it over to the secure boot settings and the UEFI, and as soon as I did that, it went to black screen. I don't know if it's compatible with the secure boot or if it's going to be stuck in the master boot record.
Right.
I guess my question would be, if I went ahead and replaced the hard drive or solid state drive with a new one and went with a Windows 11 boot drive, would it automatically, format the drive into GPT mode instead of the NVR mode?
NVR. No. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, it can come with the OS on there, and if it's in that mode, you are good to go. BIOS wouldn't do anything. It would just leave it as it is because it would have been properly configured in the first place. How old is this computer, Jesse?
It's not very old. It has a Ryzen 5, 5 7000X or whatever.
Yeah. This is an issue, right? So depending on how that boot record was created, you do have to wipe and reload if it's not in the correct format, and that's what you're finding, I think. And of course, you don't want to blow away your whole operating system and all your software, right?
Well, I'm not married to it. Like, I could totally wipe it out and start over. I'm not that crushed about that part.
And it's a spinny drive, not a solid state anyways, right?
No, it's an M.2. It's an NVMe
nice.
M.2 drive.
Yeah, so it's solid state. So it's already solid state. So, yeah. I mean, if it's that young and you don't care about it, you could just start over and just make sure you've got your data backed up. I'd tell you to put it back the way it was so you can get it to boot. Hopefully that works. Or did you do some damage to it?
Well, I can't get it back. Like I said, the computer won't post. I do have another computer. I could possibly go ahead and reformat the M.2.
Yeah, but you're going to lose everything. Do you care?
No, I don't care.
Oh, then do
There's nothing important on it. There's no family photos or nothing like that.
Then just do that. Take it and boot and format it.
And it would move it back to the NVR mode?
You would format it in that mode. So, okay. You know, you'd want to get the instructions as how to do that to make sure you're following those proper processes. But I would tell you to do that because if you don't care about the data and it's not in the right format, you need to change it anyways. But the thing that bothers me is that it should boot when you put it back. It should, if you put it back to the way it was in the BIOS, it should be like, oh, okay, I'm back the way I was. The fact that it's black screening worries me that you did something more.
Yeah, maybe the motherboard is bricked.
Well, I'm not sure about bricked, but if you can go set it to whatever the default is, you should be able to go set the defaults of that BIOS and see if it boots under the defaults because you're not going to get any worse than you are now. And if you set the defaults, see if it gets back to at least posting for you as it was. That way you wouldn't have to take the drive out, pop it into another computer because you also have to have a second M.2 slot in that other computer you want to use to format it.
Which I do.
All right. And you have to pay attention to make sure you're formatting the right one.
Right. Well, the other is a B450, so it doesn't have the secure boot compatibility.
So, I mean,
I wouldn't be able to put it in GPT anyway.
No. So go ahead then. I think you should try the default BIOS approach first before you start tearing it out and see if you can get it to post. Because you sound pretty computer literate. Yeah. Well, you're getting there. If you can get into the BIOS though, right, Jesse?
No.
You can't even get into it?
No, I push the power button and I just black screen the whole time.
Well, sometimes
I won't go in any safe mode or anything like that.
Nothing even splashes?
No.
Okay. That is worse than I would have guessed. Because just changing the mode should give you an error. So have you tried, do you know what key you're supposed to hit to even get it to go into the BIOS? Is it the escape?
F8. Yeah.
All right. And you're pounding the F8 as it comes up?
Yeah.
All right. try to disconnect the power. So what you're going to do is unplug the computer and hold the power button on. All right. That'll hopefully drain any power from the motherboard.
I actually took a step further than that. I went ahead and unplugged it, obviously. And then I also pulled the little battery and I kept it out for 15 minutes, which is supposed to completely drain everything and reset everything. And I didn't really get any result from it.
Okay. So you're definitely in a worse case than I would have guessed. You should see a splash. It should give you some basic warnings as far as just being able to splash the BIOS and move it up. So I can't imagine what happened in this case. It does sound worse than it should. I don't know. I don't even know if formatting is going to make a difference because basically the hard drive is after the BIOS.
Right. Right. I'm kind of at the point to where I'm ready to just go ahead and buy a new system. I'm just trying to do every step that I can before spending the extra money to, you know.
I agree. Are you married?
No.
Okay. I was going to say no committee to get through, so you can go through your own committee.
Right.
Yeah. You may want to have a local shop look at it, though, because it's so young, but it sounds worse than it should be for what you changed. It should give you a splash either way. It shouldn't be black screening like that. I mean, I'm going to ask the dumb questions. Your monitor's plugged in, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, something worse has happened than just doing what you're doing on the hard drive itself. I don't think you'll see any difference. Pull the hard drive out. Just pull it out and see if it can post. You just want to get the darn thing to post so you can go get it back to default. If you can't get it to post, then something's wrong. You might have lobotomized the BIOS somehow.
Okay.
I don't know how.
I'm not exactly sure either. It's essentially just a gaming computer. It's not anything that's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any other guesses or thoughts here for you as far as how to wake that BIOS up, but
would I be able to flash a new BIOS on there and alleviate all this?
How would you do it if it can't? You need to get in the BIOS to flash the BIOS.
Yeah, it won't even come up yet.
Yeah, so you're not even getting to the basic splash screen. So, like, I would disconnect it. I would take the RAM out, reseat it. I would remove the hard drive and try to power it up without that in there. Something went horribly wrong. And it just doesn't make sense that it would be completely blank like that, but you might have done a little more than you thought you did.
I mean, that's possible.
Oh, yeah.
It's possible. I'm not going to say it's not.
Oh, yeah. We've all been in there. So,
and, you know, this is all amateur troubleshooting kind of stuff, so it's not – I haven't had any kind of professionals look at it or anything. This is about as far as I've gotten. Just talking to you, Mr. Eric.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I mean, you could always try, like I said, a Best Buy might have something or a Staples help desk just to ask them for some basic – quick troubleshooting tries to physically look at it, but
yeah,
you should be able to just get a post with an error. A blank screen like that is not a good sign.
No, no, and it's kind of discouraging. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Welcome to our world, Jesse. It is.
Yeah.
It is. There's not a lot of happiness in IT.
No. A lot of head banging onto the keyboard.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, and thanks for checking in. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yep. Mm. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I wish I had an answer for him, but that's not good. Blank screen from the start, and he's tried everything. That's the beauty of the interwebs. You can actually ask the internet, but to not have a post like that is not good. All right. So we're coming up on the top of the hour here. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted by Mike G over at our Facebook page and hopefully over at our X page. I am not posting them right now over at computertalkwithtab.com because I don't have that many arms to do everything. Dennis usually does that while we do the show. So we'll get it posted later on in the week so you don't have to go and remember everything we talked about. And coming up, we're looking forward to speaking with Kennedy Smith. She'll be talking about what's going on with Amazon, and she's a senior researcher from the Institute for Self-Reliance, which I didn't hear of until I went and did this. I found this story about what Amazon was doing to public school people who were purchasing office supplies and finding a box of pens was $8 one week and $18 the next. And to the tune from what I read from one of these stories, the school system, I think in Oregon, spent over $500,000 more than they should have of taxpayer money versus just going locally and getting the contract to a local provider who might be willing to give you the same price. Oh my goodness. Every time you buy your box of pens, Amazon keeps playing these games. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've been on there. I have a pool and I maintain it with the best chemical of a pool. Just so you know, it took me about 25 years to figure it out. Baking soda. And baking soda on Amazon, the same X number of pound bag, I think it's 11 pounds, can be $15 or it can be $45. That shouldn't be a thing, but that is on Amazon, and Kennedy will tell you why. So we're looking forward to chatting with her. Stick around for the news, and then we'll be talking to Kennedy Smith. We'll be right back.